you've heard the term bigwig. She's a huge wig. This is the president, El Presidenta, Amanda Vandervoort, joining us from the brand new Super League. Amazing, awesome league getting started this year. And we have a team right here in Charlotte, the Carolina Ascent, announced last night at an amazing event here right in the heart of Southend. Amanda was one of the VIPs, and now she's a VIP on the show. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Oh, thank you. No better place to be than right here with you. Thank you for having me.
We are here just to celebrate the launch of the league and the team, another team to cheer for. We are a podcast that got started with the birth of Charlotte FC, but we cover all soccer in this town. Charlotte is a soccer city. I was an Independence fan even before Charlotte FC launched. I just didn't have a podcast partner, so I needed that to happen before I could get going. But we cover every team, and we can't wait to cover this team. The Ascent looked great as far as a crest. The colors look a little Clemson-y to me, but I'll just let that slide. I'm not a Clemson guy, but hey, you know, I won't hold that against them. I really like a lot of the elements of the crest, and we can talk about that. We can talk about last night's launch party and what you want for this league. But right now, what we're big on vibes on this show. What's your vibe after a party last night and all this positive energy surrounding your new league?
Yeah, the vibes are amazing. I mean, it's been the party last night was standing room only. Announcing the crest, the reception of the crest was super positive. You know, you don't see that all the time in brand reveals. You know, everyone's right. Got an opinion about a brand, and they should.
Oh yeah.
But the positive reception was off the charts. I felt, you know, both at the event and then online afterwards. So that was great. And this morning we've kind of done the local news, the news rounds, okay. A bit on the morning shows, and high energy. People are excited. You know, excited about the crest, but more so the brand and what it represents, and kind of the rise and of women's sports, and to have a professional women's team here, you know, in Charlotte, representing the western part of the Carolinas, I think is something really special and doesn't exist yet. So we're bringing that here.
All respect to the local news, former local newsman myself, but you made a wise move stopping by this show also, because we're the show that actually speaks to the actual soccer fans out there in the audience. You might have picked up a few casuals to get off their couch on the local news, but right now you're speaking to the people, just so you know.
I love the people, yes. My soccer peeps.
Yeah, exactly. And I love, one thing I love is just the attention to detail on that crest. The arrangement of the colors on the crest is sort of in the descending order of like what a sunset would be, the sun in the back, like, or a sunrise, I guess, you know, either way it's going. You sort of see that, like, it looks like a cascading row of sunset colors. It looks really great. So that's just one element that I love about it. And there's a lot of energy surrounding this crest. You're right.
Yeah, the colors seem to be the topic of conversation online, actually. I think it is a colorful crest. You don't see that all the time. Yeah. And I think the club really put a lot of time and effort and energy into developing that, not just the club themselves, but engaging the community in it and really understanding what do the fans want to represent this club, you know, represent them in the club. And I think this group sees the fans as much a part of this team as the players and the coach and everyone that's involved. So yeah, really cool.
I can promise you this. You'll have people yelling at you about the kit design soon enough, and they won't even remember yelling at you about the crest.
The kits are going to be off the charts. I've seen some prototypes of these kits, and you guys are going to love them. They're so cool.
I love it. Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's start there, because as far as you yourself, you are the president of the Super League. That's a pretty awesome title. But when I was reading about you a little bit, you have an artist background, and we're talking about design and everything like that. One of the quotes I read that really struck me was, you see this league as a blank canvas for yourself and other, you know, artisty types to come in. Obviously, you got to run the day-to-day business, but I love that artist approach to, like, creating something new. It's definitely something we did on the show. And what is your approach in that regard?
Yeah, it is neat, isn't it, when you can see the white space and then paint it in with the color. And I think that's what we're doing with the Super League. You know, at the league office, we want to create more opportunities for more women and more communities, and really create the opportunity to bring professional women's soccer closer to home. And even last night, I heard it so many times in the room about home and how important it was to have a team right here in the Carolinas and Charlotte. And this idea of what home is so, it's so beautiful, and it can mean so many things to so many different people. So for us at the Super League, creating that a space where players can play in their hometown and fans, you know, can, you know, feel represented in their home city, I think is how I envision the, like, art around that. Cause there's so much beauty in what home means to us. It's all different. I bet if you and I each took a minute to describe what home means to us, it might mean something a little different. And so that's the beauty of the Super League. I think of it as like, you know, every club's going to look and feel different, from Spokane Zephyr to Tampa Bay Sun, to this club here, Carolina Ascent. And I see it as a beautiful patchwork of colors, mm-hmm. and approaches to soccer. And I think that's beautiful. The Super League, I think, is a beautiful array of those brands and ideas and inspirations.
Yeah, I think home is a word that definitely speaks specifically to Carolina a lot. We're not the only state that does this, but you see a lot of bumper stickers out there with just the outline of the state of North Carolina and the word home. It's pretty popular.
Oh, motif. Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen it in Tennessee and some other states too, but I mostly do see North Carolina. Wow. Maybe that's just because I live in North Carolina. Who knows?
Yeah.
But let's get into a little bit about what the league's going to offer, because you're the president of the league. You're not necessarily specifically in charge of Carolina Ascent, but do you anticipate a lot of local women being able to get spots on this roster, or is it more international players are going to be coming, do you think? And then follow up on that with, how is this league competition going to be in comparison to what people know with women's soccer? NWSL just had probably their biggest launch to a season ever in terms of media coverage and excitement that anybody saw on social media. Y'all have a different calendar than NWSL, so it's almost like year-round women's soccer now, thanks to this league. So just go into some of those details while you can, please.
Wow, there's a lot of questions.
I know. I ask really long questions, but I'm giving you a canvas, and you can paint whatever answer you want on there, for sure.
Well, listen, when we talk about home, we take that so seriously in even the way we're organizing our player contracts. So mm-hmm. players are global free agents. We don't have a draft. We're not planning to, give players rights away. In fact, the players are in charge of their rights in their own contract negotiations.
Great.
So to answer your question about, you know, will players be from Charlotte, be from the Carolinas? Absolutely. If that's the way that the club chooses to build, which is my understanding, how Coach Poole has been talking about what he wants to build. You know, he's a 25-year resident of Charlotte. So being able to really build a club that represents the amazing talented players in this region is something he's thinking a lot about. And the way we've structured the league allows him to do that, and allows all of our clubs to do that. So leaning into that idea of home, I think broadly the player pool, you're going to see, you're going to see a lot of Americans that have gone abroad that want to come back to the United States. You're going to see a lot of players. We've got a lot of elite, collegiate players who want to go pro.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives them that opportunity. You might see some, elite youth talent playing in the academy, getting a shot to come up into the Super League, a mix of players, kind of across the spectrum. So we're really excited about the mix, the opportunity for all of them. We have, between now and August, we'll sign over 160 women to professional contracts, which is unbelievable to think about.
Yeah.
The growth of the game and all those jobs for women as professional players, right? And the front office too. So we're hiring front office staff at all of our clubs, you know.
That probably represents maybe almost 1,000 colleges probably amongst those 160 players, or just different feeder pipelines and things like that, I'd imagine.
Well, if you think about it, there's 40,000 women playing college soccer mm-hmm. today. There's about 300 that sign up for the NWSL draft every year, and of that, maybe 50 get drafted, you might mm-hmm. see 15 to 20 sign a contract. So that pool gets, you know, pretty stripped pretty quickly.
So
and
we're at least
where
quadrupling
do all those other players
workforce.
Go?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of them go abroad. A lot of them quit and go pursue, you know, other jobs and careers, which is great. And if they want to do that, that's totally fine. But now that if they do want to be a pro soccer player, now they can here mm-hmm. with us. And that's another kind of pool of players that we're excited to bring on.
So players control their own contract
yep.
status. Like you said, does that give them the chance to play on a Super League team, then also go play abroad also in the Super League off season, or are they mostly going to be tied just to this league?
No, they'll be, however the duration of their contract is, they're tied to that club. So,
Okay. Yeah, so
it's not like a half season here, half season there or anything.
Gotcha.
Our season will run August to June. So it's most of the year, and there'll be a winter break and a summer break.
Mm-hmm.
That summer break, really strategically, we created it so players could go to the World Cup, they could go to the Olympics and not be in a club versus country kind of situation during those months.
What kind of weekly schedule can we look at, or monthly, like how many games per month and things like that? As those details come out, how many times can we look forward to going to watch our team play here in the Carolina Center?
Yeah, we're in the middle of scheduling now. So mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll have that information soon.
Cool.
But it's a process.
It's a puzzle you got to put
daunting.
Together.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Luckily we control most of our venues in the USL. It's part of our model with the men's clubs and the women's clubs. We invest a lot in real estate and development. Mm-hmm. We're building at the moment. We just built Cobalt Stadium in Spokane. We're building in Lexington. We're renovating in Tampa. Like, we're really investing a lot in the facilities mm-hmm. for women's professional sports and women's professional soccer in particular. So just having the kind of primary tenant access to those stadiums allows our scheduling process to hopefully be a little bit easier. But, you know, right now we're putting the cards on the table. So we see, if we're full of aces and if we got a full house or what.
Everyone's priorities probably become very apparent, I'm sure. You know, there's no more beating around the bush when it comes to, we want this game played in this place at that time.
That's true.
For sure. So
I have, like my
dad and I used to run leagues all the time just growing up, and just like, even scheduling a 12-team league for 6 games, you know, was pretty tough. So I can only imagine the daunting task across the country.
Yeah, but fun. But then it's
and that was
like,
all the same venue. Yeah, exactly. let me just follow up on kind of where I was going earlier, and just like, how do you become sort of a competitor to NWSL, but also celebrating the success of like the growth of the sport overall? I'm sure you're not trying to take them down necessarily, but you want to shine in your own way. What's the dynamic there?
Oh, listen, we have nothing but respect and admiration for what the NWSL mm-hmm. has built, especially like the launch of the season. The kickoff has been unbelievable, to your point, the marketing, the media, all of it, and the way they've positioned stuff. So like, big kudos to them. For us, it's, you know, I think we're a really different product. So the international calendar really puts us in a different conversation mm-hmm. from a global marketplace perspective, and also, you know, gives fans access to year-round soccer. And that's something we think a lot about. And those, like, you know, you've got November, December, February, March, like different kind of months of the season when people will be able to engage with the Super League. Our player contracts are a big deal. You know, we, like I said, we don't have the draft system. So mm-hmm. we're going to, the functionality of the league looks different than the NWSL. And, you know, our markets, obviously our markets and this, the kind of infrastructure and stadium mm-hmm. planning that we have, it's just a different kind of product. And we love both. We love both. And we think that this kind of rising tide lifts all ship is absolutely true right now. There's over 100 men's professional soccer teams in America right now. There's 14 women's until we kick a ball, in which there'll be 8 more, and then 8 more to come after that. And more after that from the USL.
Yeah.
So, I think the opportunity is now, really, in women's professional soccer, and we're excited to be part of it.
Let's wrap up. I just getting back to the fans and the connection with fans and communities. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the markets or a lot of places, you know, Tampa, Charlotte, that have strong soccer connections. We say Charlotte is a soccer city on this show all the time. So what kind of special experiences can fans look forward to as a way to connect with this team? Player accessibility, and just, you know, whether it's post game autographs or whatever, what kind of things are you anticipating they're going to make USL stand out for a fan connected league?
Isn't that one of the beautiful things about, I mean, I'll say just women's soccer, my heart and my soul's in women's soccer, mm-hmm. and the connectivity that the players have with the fans is something that I think transcends the game itself. And I'm excited to see that come to life. I'll leave it to the club to tell their special like insider details on how they're going to bring the game day experience to life. But we do talk a lot about it at the league office and with all of our ownership groups and presidents of our clubs to make sure that they're thinking constantly about the fan experience.
That's what I'm saying.
KPIs against it.
Amanda, I need you to lean on these guys. If they're not delivering the goods, it's like, you know, it's a sternly worded phone call from league office coming from you. Are you ready to deliver that call?
No problem. We want the best experience for the players and the fans. And those, I would say, are our two areas of core focus. We want the players to be treated well, first and foremost, mm-hmm. and make sure that their environment is professional, top class, Division I standard, and then deliver the same for the fans.
Mm-hmm. What's just real quick wrapping up? What's the challenge of that dual mission? Players and fans, you got to serve mm-hmm. both. How do you divide your time and things like that in your daily day to day of this job?
Well, I think in this job myself, I think player first and fan centric.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I personally think about fans and how to create the best experience for them is to ask them what they want and then give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like kind of simple, right? But then incorporating that into your business and how you're operating your business, how you're making business decisions. Like, would a fan want that?
Mm-hmm.
And if yes, great, let's go deliver it, right? So kind of asking fans, understanding their behaviors, like when they're buying tickets, why they're buying things, and then making sure that we can make it fun. I mean, soccer's fun, right? You go to a game and the experience in the stadium is about people coming together and celebrating home. What does home mean to them and professional women's soccer?
making people's lives better through soccer. Amanda Vandervoort, USL, Super League, Carolina Sent. Let's go.
I love you just said that. That's so meaningful to me. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're welcome. You inspired me to say it. So Thanks. Thank you very much for the inspiration. We will let you go because you got to get out of here. You got busy presidential business to attend to. But thank you so much. And what is it? I need a new catchphrase. I have like a Charlotte FC sign off. I have a Charlotte Independent sign off. What's the Carolina?
Together we rise.
Together we rise, baby.